Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Way In Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, December 5th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room by listening online at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Way In Sports. Tonight, we dedicate our show to the recent passing of Brian and his mother's dog, Coda. Now, here's your host, Brian Parvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
All right. Thanks, Michelle, for the introduction. And Trey, it's been a week since we've been on air. How's everything going, man?
Going well, man. Going well. Can't complain.
A lot has happened in 7 days. As we hit the air, we had to miss Wednesday night, other things going on, and we're back. Hopefully we'll be done tonight by 10:30 if we can get it all in. We've got a lot to cover tonight. Trey, what do you think of Mr. Cam Newton today?
Well, he certainly looked good. He told us how good he looked, and obviously he likes to showboat a little bit, but they did well today, beating the Falcons. The Falcons showing that they still have a lot to really progress through the season if they're going to make any kind of playoff run.
Yep, exactly. And I have to see them be able to take that next step. But it's going to be interesting. The Falcons are going to have to get home field advantage through the playoffs to have a shot. But playing Green Bay or the Giants, it could be tricky. Falcons seem to have trouble. But we'll come back to NFL later, but last night, Trey, history was made in college football. Johnny Manziel, the first freshman ever to win the Heisman Trophy. What do you think about that award?
Well, congratulations. He had a good season this year. Statistically, you know, I looked at some of the stats, you know, better to talk about more yards than Cam Newton and Tim Tebow when they won it. But, you know, what I look at this year is really there was no runaway winner this year. There wasn't a player who really it was all over the place this year in terms of, you know, which player was going to be the front runner. Even at the very end, it was when Manziel sort of, you know, got his name on the stage. It was very late. So, you know, a very split year of, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, this was going to be, you know, early in the year. It was, you know, Geno Smith, then it was, you know, Klein. And so, you know, Manziel basically picked a great year to be the best freshman, you know, out there because, you know, this is the year that it was very good for him to win it because just the other players weren't really pulling themselves away in the race.
You know, the interesting, you know, after the Heisman last night, they broke down the regions of, you know, the votes, and he almost won. Manziel almost won the Midwest, and that should have been Notre Dame's linebacker, Trey. That's amazing that many people voted for Johnny Manziel in the voting process.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny how a lot of people kept saying, well, you know, are people going to vote for a freshman? But that really didn't seem to bother most folks around who were, you know, when you talk to the voters, you saw them posting on Twitter. It wasn't the freshmen. I mean, they've given sophomores of the award quite a lot recently. It's been the award's gotten younger and younger. But it seems to be the barrier between a defensive player is still there, Tarvin. And, you know, that seemed to be a lot of people just could not give this award to a true defensive player.
Well, I don't mind the award going to a defensive player if they're head and shoulders above everyone else in the country, and that's including offense. So looking at Teo, I mean, honestly, on Georgia, Coach Rick said this, Bart Rick said that, you know, his linebackers are better than he is, and honestly, he's telling the truth. I mean, I'm not taking away anything from Teo, but honestly, I mean, Notre Dame would would still be a great team probably without him, you know, a 10-win team at least. But I'm not seeing anything he's done that would make him Heisman worthy. I mean, the great kid, great player, but come on. I mean, there's better stats out there on the defensive side of the ball. So that's why I don't agree with him being a Heisman winner.
Well, I mean, I don't agree with Mark Rick that some of the linebackers on Georgia are better. They can't stop the run in Georgia for one. So, I mean, that's a linebacker's job. So, you know, they do well at pass rushing. And like Jarvis Jones had more tackles for a loss than Manti Te'o did. But that's not, you know, Manti Te'o was a tackling machine. And, you know, Jarvis Jones and none of the Georgia guys really were. So, you know, that Georgia to go out and say, hey, our guys are better. Well, you couldn't even stop the run this year. You know, there were people running over 300 yards last three games of the season against Georgia, and that's all come down to linebacking play. So, you know, I don't agree with that comment, Tarvin, but, you know, I think Manti Te'o did not have the signature, like, you know, touchdown, interception for a touchdown, or, you know, big sack with a forced fumble on national TV towards the end of the year to really grant him that exposure that people wanted to vote for a defensive player, because, like you said, there is an argument that other stats on the defense are more important. And, you know, Manti Te'o was not a sack guy. He had, what, 1.5 sacks this year. So, you know, there are some people who view those stats as more important or just as important as some of the stats he was able to put up.
Yeah, and also an amazing stat for him is he missed 2 tackles this year. So the plays he could make, he made. So missing only 2 tackles, that's remarkable, Trey.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is a tackling machine. He's going to be great in the pros, for sure.
Oh, he is. And he plays with a lot of heart, and he makes everybody around him better, not taking anything away from this guy. And then also there's Colin Klein that finished 3rd in the voting, and he was a runaway winner before that loss to Baylor, Trey. So are you agreeing with him finishing 3rd in this race, or would you have liked to see him win it?
I mean, I think personally I could have voted for him just because the fact that I think he meant more to his team than the other 2 players did. I mean, without Klein on Kansas State's team, I mean, that team may lose 10 games. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, I think Klein was just such a more valuable player. Now, when it comes down to, you know, more talent, I think Johnny Manziel is more talented than Klein is. I think Manti Te'o is a much better pro prospect. But, you know, none of those, if you look at the actual what you vote on for the Heisman, none of those are actually the statistics, you know, or the definition that matters. So, to me, Klein probably was a close winner just because I liked his leadership. I liked the fact that he took a Kansas State team from nothing in the national championship picture.
Yeah, and he did it for 2 years in a row. Like last year, he came out of nowhere with that Kansas State team, and this year he just followed it up with an 11-1 season, which, I mean, great job for Kansas State. Great job, Klein. He'll go down as a winner in my book. He doesn't have to have a Heisman Trophy, you know, to be a winner. So I like that kid. He's a great quarterback and a good leader. I'm just interested to see how he does in the next level. So I think everybody is. But looking at it, the freshman finally, it's showing that there's change. These voters can accept change in the Heisman Trophy because I've heard several people tell me this, and I started to believe it myself that a freshman would never win this award. But being able to see the voters reward somebody just because they're the best player and not just because they're a freshman or a sophomore. Kudos to the Heisman Trophy Committee and all the voters because a job well done on this. But you said it right, Trey. There's nobody that really stood out this year. So it was a good year for Johnny Manziel to get noticed. But, Trey, the hardest part for this kid is what is he going to do the next 3 years in college?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, one of the things about Manziel is they're going to have a year full of tape. You know, you have a lot of really great defensive coordinators in the SEC, and they're going to spend a lot of time really tearing him down. And it's not like this is a kid who has, you know, no flaws or has the arm strength and accuracy that, you know, can overcome some of these decisions. I mean, he's going to have to work just as hard for these defensive coordinators to have success next year. I mean, there's no doubt he's talented, Tarvin, but, you know, when it comes down to who can make the adjustment, you got to make sure that he does the work in the offseason because he's not talented enough to be able to show up on the field and perform again like he did this year without putting in the prep work.
Well, the thing that I look at is when he played LSU shut him down, especially in the second half. Florida, after that first half, shut down. Alabama, even, for the most part, shut him down. So it's not like he just went up and blew these teams out of the water. I mean, he had a great season, but still, I mean, he lost two games this season. He could have easily won them all, but the thing is, defenses started making adjustments in the second half on this kid, so now you have an entire season to really to look at him. Because, you know, a lot of teams, like Nick Saban included, this offseason, they're going to look at ways to stop Manziel and to correct what they did wrong this past year, letting him get off to a quick start. But I don't look for another Heisman Trophy out of this kid. Great season and all, but I think, you know, his stock's going to drop. So if you're just like the stock market, you need to sell this kid immediately.
Oh, yeah, we're out in Vegas. I'd put the odds on him winning the Heisman. It's super low, Tarvin. I'm talking about 20, 30 to 1, maybe even higher. I just don't think it's going to happen. And for the reasons we just talked about, I mean, there are going to be a lot of adjustments made. I mean, one, look at the stats you just talked about. From him playing ranked teams, he only averaged 287 yards passing for those games. And in the three teams he played that were ranked, he was 3 touchdowns and 3 INTs. So, I mean, he can be figured out.
Exactly. And, I mean, it was just a weird season for the Heisman, but it's over with now, and congratulations to Manziel. Good kid and everything. We'll just see how he does. It's going to be tough on him. I think he wanted a year too soon just to be successful. But Trey, let's hit some NFL real quick today. Do you want to go ahead and start our games that we have picked?
Yeah, why don't we hit our one college game real quick, Tarvin? The Army-Navy game was entertaining to watch. I don't know if you saw any of it, but I always love to watch the Army-Navy game, obviously for my own reasons, but another entertaining game. Navy pulled it out, which always makes me happy with my dad's Navy route. So what do you think, Tarvin? Did you get a chance to see the Army-Navy game?
Definitely. I mean, it's college football I was watching. So, I mean, I was pulling for Army. I picked Navy to win this game, of course, but Army played so well yesterday.
Yeah.
Two very disciplined teams. I just hated to see them fall short at the end. You know, I'm always pulling for the underdog like that, so I was rooting for Army. What about you? I'm sure Navy,
well,
right?
I mean, yeah, I was pulling for Navy, but, when it comes down to an ending like that, I mean, you're just glued. You're like, wow, is this going to happen? You know, is Army going to pull this out? And when you see a loss like that, that matters so much. I mean, you know, Army, Navy, these kids aren't playing for the NFL. They're, you know, the Navy quarterback, you know, if you saw his little bio, this kid's going to go be a naval aviator. So, you know, these are different goals in life. So they really take these games seriously. Very disciplined. Love the game. And congratulations for Navy.
Yeah, and, hey, I want to shout out to the chat room real quick while it keeps growing. We have Corey Bird, the winner of our last pick'em, in the chat room. We have two guests, so the guests out there need to go three guests. Go register at blogtalkradio.com. Sign up for a free account. Jason Humphrey, Jason Minson, Jonathan Miklos, Juan Aponte, and we have Roger from NBB Media in the chat room, Sonia Minson, Tater Sports Tater, and Trey Patterson. So, yeah, I mean, that was a great game yesterday. It was fun to watch. It's just the only football game of the day, and I think they made it perfect to where it's not sharing any time with anything else. So I really liked it, the stage they put this game on. It's a very important game. But, you know, I started having college football withdrawal yesterday, Trey, I have to admit.
Well, you know, I mean, now, you know, on Wednesday's show, we're going to start breaking down bowls because, you know, this week we'll actually have bowls to start talking about and breaking down on Wednesday. So, it's bowl season. It's the holiday season. We're not going to have football every Saturday. You know, we're going to be hit and miss on which days we have it, Tarvin.
But I'm going to tell people this, just because football season is over, once it's over in January, once Notre Dame and Bama play, it's not over. We're still going to talk college football. We're going to talk recruiting, and we'll break down the 2013 season. So I want this to be the show that you get that fix for. If you need college football, please tune in. We'll always be able to talk college football. And being in the South, there's so many people that want to listen to it. And then I found out, either north, out west, it doesn't matter. People want to talk college football and listen to it. So we will always give you your college football dose.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I saw from a couple of new fans that we had gotten, Tarvin, were they were from the north, the northeast. And they want to talk northeast, you know, college football, and, you know, they didn't have any outlet to talk about college football at all. And, you know, find our show, because all you got to do is tell us, hey, let's talk about Rutgers this week. We'll talk about Rutgers, especially in the off season. You know, we're going to have time to talk about all your teams. So if you want to talk about your team, you want to call in, you know, this is the show to do it.
Exactly. I mean, we don't care who it is. I mean, if you want to hear your team broken down, you want to get on air, do it, because we love college football. We love sports in general, but college football is our thing, and we really love talking football. So, Trace, after the one college football game is over, we have NFL. This is where the NFL starts heating up finally. You know, all these games are very, very important. It's playoff time, getting close. So tell me today what you thought about the NFL when you watched all the games. Anything just surprise you?
Well, I guess, you know, before the games, obviously our number five game was the Dallas game. And kind of, you know, what surprised me going into this week was just the story that came out of Dallas. It's the second week in a row that we've had, you know, a death affecting, you know, a program. And this is not something that happens because you're usually playing with very young players in the NFL. To have, you know, back-to-back weeks with an actual player on a team, you know, dying, and especially this week with the Cowboys, Tarv, I mean, kind of a heartbreaking story, you know, as you lose your one of your teammates, you know, dies, and the other teammates in jail to death. It's just really heartbreaking, and the Cowboys played really well today, sort of, I guess, with all that looming over them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to see. I mean, I played, you know, basketball with a death in the family before, but, you know, that was eighth grade. So playing at this level with a death of a close friend or something, it's got to be hard. But Dallas, you know, showed their resilience. They worked together. They beat Cincinnati on the road. And honestly, Trey, I think being on the road in this game actually helped them more than being at home. I think if this game was in Dallas, they would have lost. But being on the road, I think they had to unite and come together, and they did. Pulled out a big win.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, actually, is I think that you know, a lot of times when you're, you know, same thing for our deployed soldiers, airmen, marine, and sailors, is, you know, when they're at home, sometimes it's that home stuff that it usually, you know, drags you into it. But, you know, when you're on the road or when you're down over downrange, you have to focus on what's in front of you. And it's like the Cowboys being in Cincinnati really helped them sort of, you know, focus on their football game.
Yep, and I mean, it was the perfect time to play if you were going to play in that situation, to be on the road. Cincinnati, you know, had many opportunities, Trey, when this game was 19-10, to put it out of reach, and they failed on multiple occasions. What do you think about that? Did you see what I saw? I mean, just a failed opportunity.
Yeah, Cincinnati had a lot of opportunities to win that game, and they should have. I mean, they let Dallas hang around. And Dallas took advantage of it. I mean, that's one of the things that sort of separates a playoff team at this time of year is, can you finish out games? And Cincinnati didn't. And that's going to, you know, that's a big loss for them in their playoff hunt.
Yeah, will Dallas make the playoffs now? Do you think they can rally together and play and honor these guys, or do you think this was just a fluke?
Well, the Cowboys have been up and down all year long, so we're going to have to really see. And I think, you know, you nailed it, is what's going to happen when they come home and play that game. They haven't played well at home as it is. And now they're going to come home to, you know, a tragedy like this, and they're going to be going to a funeral. And we all know what losing someone's like. So, you know, having that, you know, distract you from the weeks ahead. And every game right now, Dallas has to win because they right now are on the outside of the playoff picture looking into it. So, for Dallas, each week is going to be, you know, as important as the next week. And so there can be no slip-ups for Dallas now. They have to win out.
Well, watching Dallas today, it did seem like the first time in a while they were actually interested in the game. I mean, it just seems like they've been sleepwalking, going through the motions. But today they played in that second half with some purpose. And you know, it showed that, I mean, I was pulling for the Cowboys just for that reason alone, you know, just because – they were going through a tough time, and I think the nation was pulling for Dallas during this tough time. So let's talk about this just for a second, Trey. Again, a player with a card in his wallet giving him the number if he's had too much to drink for a free service to come and take him home. It will not be reported to anyone that he used that number or that driver. What do you think? Again, what is it going to take for these drivers to wake up or these players to wake up and to call someone?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, why, you know, I guarantee you, let me be the attorney for one of these teams and I change the culture of the team. I don't understand why you don't have a service hired, you know, 24/7 for these players, 7 days a week. They're all at a bar. Two guys show up, one to drive you home, the other one to drive your car home. And these players are so invested in by these you know, large corporations who own these teams. Is it really going to hurt their you know, bottom line in any way to pay for a service to make sure these players aren't going out and getting DUIs? We see it all the time. I mean, from college to pro, I just don't understand it. I mean, even Air Force bases have airmen against drunk driving, where you can call, you know, these volunteer services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for free, and, you know, you can get a ride home. So I just don't understand why they don't make these guys sign a contract saying they're going to do that and have that service available.
Well, I think it's time for the league. You know, they've been so consumed with the concussions, they need to start being more concerned with what's going on the weekends with these guys and holding these guys accountable, because there has to be something put in, like you said, the contract, some heavy discipline. I mean, the discipline for this guy is he's going to prison, you know, which is, I mean, I'm sure his own prison will be thinking about his friend dying. So prison is nothing for this guy compared to the hell he's going to be going through. But they need to make these guys realize, and hopefully this will be the situation that people will use and make and realize they need to call somebody and get help. Or I say, if you do that, just say nobody died, but you have to suspend these guys for a while for something like this.
Yeah, I mean, the league needs to come down just as hard on basically prevention of this issue. I mean, there's already discipline here, but, you know, this is one of those things that can kind of happen to anybody. I mean, this is a situation that I think if you talk to people who've gone through a DUI, if you have a friend who's, you know, had one before, the answer is, I always thought I was okay. And that's where you need to have, you know, for these programs, NFL and college, something written into the contract, written into their player agreement, whatever it is, it says, look, if you have a drink, I don't care if it's just a one, you're going to use our service and get home safe, and we'll get your car home. Don't worry about that, you know, ancillary stupid stuff that really doesn't matter later on in life. But, you know, we want to make sure you're safe. That's all that matters. And I think the league needs to come out and, you know, and be just as proactive and preventative on those issues as well.
Well, Trey, hold right there. We're going to take a caller from the 323 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a scorekeeper up from the West Coast.
What's up, scorekeeper? How's everything going?
Oh, I'm doing great. A little hot over some of the comments and in the world of football right now with this tragedy on the Dallas football player.
It's a terrible thing. Share with us.
It's a terrible thing. And look, ladies and gentlemen, I hope I don't alienate anyone. And with you know, I just established friends with Friendship with Trey. I hope he doesn't kick me out now. But, guys, you know, I'm disappointed with some of the attitudes about this. Look, I just said in the chat room, if I had my way, I would ring that guy up for first-degree murder. Look, I'm not going to tell you I'm holier than thou when it comes to drinking. I rarely drink because the minute I take a drink, I'm stupid, and I know that. Okay, so if these guys know that they're going to go out and do something and they already know how they are, there is no excuse for it. There's no, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, or, you know, it just happened. No, it was deliberate. It was a cowardly act that they knew about it, and now, unfortunately, they're going to have to pay for it. But here's the thing. They're still going to live, and the person that they killed is now dead. There's nothing that they're ever going to be able to make up for. And, you know, it's almost a cop-out that they're going to only get hit with manslaughter. This is a criminal act, and they should be charged accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, tell me about the attitude you're seeing that I guess disappointed you, because I'm not seeing anybody that's taking this lightly. So are you seeing people take this lightly?
I have. I've been unfortunately spending some time on the internet about this. You know, don't go to Dallas, you know, because there your mind will be tweaked forever, and I'm sorry to say, but everyone is using the word mistake. Oh, he made a mistake. Oh, this. And it just got disgusting. Brian, Trey, I just couldn't handle it anymore. It was just genuinely disgusting. And it's like, it wasn't a mistake. It was a deliberate act. The minute you drink and you have your keys in your pocket, it is a deliberate act.
And so, Roger, the thing I think about is I feel like, you know, there's probably everybody out there at some point has had a few drinks and got behind the wheel of a car. If something would have happened, they would have been accountable before, but does that make them a bad person, though?
Yes, it does, Brian.
Okay.
Yes,
I think 99.9% of the people in the world have done this, but it, I mean, they just haven't gotten caught or nothing's happened. And I
understand that, Brian, but you know, I'm of the mind that if you come to a red light and there's no traffic and you take the red light, you've still broken the law whether you get caught or not.
Uh-huh.
And Brian, I'm sorry, and Trey, I'm sorry, guys, if this is a social commentary, but this is an issue of America where more people die due to drunk drivers. And the people that kill them just get away, figuratively and literally. They're drunk, they live, and they still get to live a life. And I'm sorry if I'm taking the holier-than-thou act, but I know what's going to happen if I drink. So I don't drink to begin with. I enjoy people's company. I don't need the liquor to enjoy their company.
I don't know, Roger. Some people, you might need liquor to enjoy the company.
Well, that, gentlemen, that's fair, and there's a lot of truth to that. you know, there is.
I know what you're talking about. I mean, have enough responsibility about yourself to make sure you're not the one driving drunk. But there's a difference between having a couple of drinks and being sober enough. But I don't know how drunk this guy was. I don't know if you've heard, Roger. What, was he just terrible drunk, or was it just barely above the limit?
You guys got me on that, and that's why I said I don't want to take the holier-than-thou attitude. But I have not checked out the details on it because, number one, it's a Dallas issue. I mean, sorry for being insensitive, but it's Dallas, for goodness sake. And it's really just sad that it happened again and again and again. And... I'm sure we're going to know some more details tomorrow, but he has been arrested. He tested positive. I think there was a sobriety test, right, guys? And he failed that.
Yes. Yes.
And do we know the actual results? Brian, I'm not sure if you do, Trey. Do you know what the news report said? Because I think they did a blood test, right? Do we know already?
No, that's not going to be released. I mean, it takes a while for that stuff to come back. I just want to clear up a couple of things I saw in the chat room and with this as well. You know, Roger, you can certainly, you know, free to have your opinion. I don't know if it's holier than now. I mean, I wouldn't agree, you know, that I wouldn't, I guess, accuse you of that. But there's a difference in first-degree murder where it is an intent to kill somebody, and then there is manslaughter, which basically means you accidentally killed somebody. Yeah, he may have intentionally got in a car when he was drinking, but I don't think his intent ever was to kill somebody who he's with. And I don't think he's going to get involuntary manslaughter either. I think the chat room talked about that. Most states have, including Texas, where I actually know the law, has what's called vehicular homicide, which is what he will be charged with, probably
yes.
Among other things as well. And I think in Texas he's going to do time. I mean, it's going to be years. I mean, this is not going to be a slap on the wrist. And I think that it is unfortunate that, you know, a life was lost, absolutely. And, you know, there are criminal penalties. But, you know, this guy is going to have to live with it the rest of his life, and that's, you know, that's tough as well. And so, you know, prison is not going to be easy for him. So, I mean, it's just a sad situation. And Roger, you don't prevent these things from happening again and again by being overly punitive. That's not how these things get solved. This kind of crime gets solved by people being proactive and basically educating these young kids with all this money they get thrown at them that this is not okay and this is going to happen, basically, and it's going to, you know, you have to help protect these guys because they're thrust onto these, you know, basically almost demigod statuses in these football teams. And these programs, I think, need to have a better basically a better protection of these guys and have better services available so this kind of stuff doesn't happen in the pros or in college.
Trey, a wonderful, lucid argument. Very difficult to argue against. But why is it that us, you, me, Brian, everyone in the chat room, why are we arguing about this? And I say that term arguing just for what I'm going to say. Why are we arguing it, and yet the very same players – management, the corporation, if you will, doesn't do a damn thing about it. Let me leave that thought with you. I don't want to be argumentative. I don't want to be argumentative with everyone. I understand about the whole punitive thing. It's true. But I guess that's the conservative side in me. I've been called a flaming liberal, but the conservative side of me is heavy on the penalty stuff. But just think about that, guys. We, the fans,
absolutely,
figuratively and literally, are the ones having to deal with this. Really? What is management doing about it? Not a damn thing. Gentlemen, I love your program. I love when you guys had me on last time. And everyone to the chat room, guys, it's just my opinion, but it's going to happen again. I'm sorry to be a defeatist. And who's going to suffer? We, the fans. So just think about that, guys. Just think about that. Thanks, guys.
Well, all right, Roger, man. You're the greatest, man. Thanks for coming on. And Trey Jason in the chat room thinks that he's going to have no jail time out of this, some probation, and maybe, you know, join MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers or something. So do you think there's any chance he gets off without jail time?
No. Well, first of all, Harmony's already in jail, so he's serving jail time already. He's not even out on bond or bail yet. So, I mean, Harmony, he's gonna do time. I mean, you don't kill somebody, even if it's accidental, and walk away with nothing. It's super rare. It's not the norm. Being somebody who's in the criminal justice system, I can tell you that.
Well, I mean, I just want to appreciate Roger for coming on and giving his honest opinion and venting. And nobody's right or wrong in this. I mean, everybody has different opinions, but I'm not feeling sorry for the guy, you know, that had the rig. I'm just, you know, looking at it from, my God, how many people could have made that mistake in life that you look at, Trey, and say, man, Joe Blow's a great person, you know. You know, some people like that. I'm not talking about a guy going around with a chainsaw and an axe cutting people's heads off intentionally. So that's what I'm looking at is just a mistake. He knew what he was doing when he got in the car, and he knew that this could happen. But, again, it wasn't intentional, and I think that'll be the key when they're going to court.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
But, I mean, just looking at it, that was his best friend that died. So looking at it, I mean, God, that's just terrible. You lose your best friend. You killed your best friend, really, in an accident. Now you've got to explain that to his family and to all your fans and your teammates. But you have to live with that the rest of your life. And there was a question in a mistake room, or mistake in the chat room, but it was a mistake, Roger. I mean, the guy made a mistake. He got behind the wheel of a car drunk, and he killed somebody. Now he will do the time and the punishment for it. But it was a mistake. Do you agree, Trey?
I think it's, I mean, using the word mistake, I think I see people in the chat room who are like, I don't know about mistake. I mean, yeah. Mistake in the sense of the word is yeah, did he mean to kill somebody? No, he didn't. Did he mean to get behind the wheel? Yeah, he did. So his mistake was ever getting in the car. You know, and his actions led to a death, and it's tragic, and there's, you know, nothing else in the judicial system for him now.
Well, it's like at work, you know, you make a mistake at work, you can lose your job and get fired. You didn't mean to make that mistake. You didn't, but maybe you were doing something you shouldn't have been doing, which is a mistake. So I say that maybe in a different interpretation than some people might interpret it. So I'm not for this guy at all. I mean, I'm not saying what he did was okay. I'm saying it's terrible. And there's more to it than just jail time in this. You've got to look at everything involved in this. So I'm not condoning it at all, Trey.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I get what you're saying.
Okay, good. I just don't want anybody to think I'm supporting drunk driving and murdering. And then speaking of murdering, Stafford throws another pick, and Green Bay's got the ball towards midfield. Detroit's up 14-10 right now, so... So, Trey, take us – was that number five, was the Cowboys? And
that was our number five game. I'll take us on to number four. Thanks for all the conversation, guys. I know it's a – you know, we don't often delve into social commentary in sports, but when they cross, we like to talk about it. So, number four was the Bears laying an egg against Jason Minton's Vikings. So, Jason, hail to your Vikings. How about Christian Ponder throwing for 91 yards and then beating the Bears? Adrian Peterson is assaulting the record book, Starvin.
Yeah, and did you hear who Christian Ponder's engaged to?
Yeah, he's engaged to the ESPN reporter.
Yeah, I didn't know that until the day I was reading it. But, I mean, Ponder, okay, but what about Adrian Peterson, man? Where's he been hiding? I mean, he's come out of nowhere and just started tearing these defenses up. I'm talking about some huge monster fantasy numbers. What happened with him?
Well, apparently when they put his leg back together, they put something from Krypton in there. This dude is just destroying defenses. And, I mean, he said today after his game against the Bears, that he's not just looking for 2,000 yards. He's looking to break the all-time rushing record. I mean, he's only, what, 500 and something yards away from doing it? I mean, it's actually within reach.
I mean, he's running like, I don't know if he's on steroids or something. What, Trey? I don't know, but something happened, and now this guy can't be stopped. Minnesota is a force to be reckoned with now. So what is Minnesota's record?
Minnesota is 7-6.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're not out of it yet, but Trey, let's I think Jason wants to say a few words.
Absolutely.
What's up, Jason?
What's up, Tarvin?
Oh, nothing much. How's everything going?
Good. Say, all right, so my Vikings today. I'm sorry, Trey, but Ponder still stinks. they didn't win the game on Ponder's arm. They won it on Adrian Peterson's legs.
Yeah, well, the 91 yards didn't help at all, I don't think.
And they won because Cutler stinks. I mean,
he
how many throw today? So, you know, it is what it is. I kind of think that Chicago had a cake schedule at the beginning of the year, and now it's starting to show. I mean, they're 8-5. So, I don't know. I didn't expect us to win this game, but I also didn't expect Peterson to run for 100 yards in the first quarter. And Tarvin, you said, you know, where has Adrian Peterson been all year? He's been there. I mean, he's approaching 2,000 yards in rushing.
Well, I'm talking about before this year, really. He's kind of tailed off with injuries, and then all of a sudden he has new life.
Well, I mean, when you go down, he had a decent year last year, Tarvin. He happened to shred his knee at the last game of the year last year, pretty much in the last quarter. So, I mean, it's remarkable what they did for him. I would have never expected this out of him. I thought his career was done. I mean, he literally shattered his knee. But he looks even better than he did the last 2 years. So he's an animal. I mean,
it would be
scary to think what Minnesota would do right now if they had a quarterback and a receiver. I mean, that's what's – because their defense is good. So, I don't know. I'm happy with the win. But, you know, if they make the playoffs, great. If they don't, I'm still happy.
You're still
hey,
a
Jason,
Vikings fan, right?
I'm still a Vikings fan through and through.
Jason, let me throw this scenario at you. This is what I think you guys should do. You should bench Ponder and go with Webb.
Oh, I totally agree.
Nope.
I totally agree, but, you know, Sonny and I were talking about this the other day. I really think that after this year Ponder's done, they're going to trade him. He's not who they're looking for. And I'm kind of torn as far as what they're going to do because historically with the Vikings, they usually go up and go after washed-up quarterbacks, and there really isn't any out there. So I'm kind of at a loss. And, you know, one name that came to mind, you know, since he's not being used in New York –
G-Mac.
I'd love to have G-Mac in Minnesota. You know, I give him a shot. I mean, he can't do any worse than Ponder. So, and I think the two games that G-Mac played in, he actually scored and the Jets actually won.
Yep.
So, the guy's a proven winner. So, I don't know. Trey, give Webb a shot. I agree. I totally agree. Because Webb has shown me some things in recent time, like last year. I mean, he does have talent. I just don't get it with Ponder. He has these flashes of brilliance, and then he just stinks. There's no consistency.
Well, Ponder is the master of the check down, and that doesn't really win you a lot of games. I mean, the guy doesn't have a lot of vision downfield. His arm isn't all that great. So I just don't understand why the Vikings don't give Webb a shot. I mean, I don't know what he's doing in practice to make no one else believe in him, but you're right. Last year when I saw him, I was like, man, this cat's all right. He's going to make a lot of mistakes. But, I mean, Ponder is not exactly mistake-proof himself.
Yeah, I mean, I chalked up last year that he was, you know, a rookie, and, you know, you're going to throw interceptions. You're going to make mistakes. But I honestly thought this year he would get past that, but I would say it even borders on he's making more mistakes than he did last year. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
guys, I'll tell you, the most popular person on the team is the backup quarterback. But if I'm Minnesota, I'm going to, for the rest of this year, I'm going to stay with Ponder. That's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, you look at it this way, Tarvin, because, I mean, look what they did the last two games. They barely throw it. I mean, Ponder, I don't even think, threw for over 100 yards today. What they're going to do is they're just ramming it with Adrian Peterson. Last week, they should have won with the yardage alone that Peterson, you know, ran. I mean, they should have won last week. So, I don't know.
Yeah, they should have. But Jason, man, as always, you know, if it's not the Gophers, it's the Vikings. At least you have two teams you can pull for.
Oh, yeah.
That are in the same state. But, man, I appreciate you coming on. Hit number one once we get off. And if you or Sonya want to come back on, press number one again, okay?
All right, no problem.
All right, thanks. We're going to go to the 512 area code real quick. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Jay called last week, talked some Texas and Auburn. How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, first and foremost, I want to say this about Christian Ponder. To say he stinks, I don't know. I mean, I'll just put it this way in a nutshell. Christian Ponder's never going to be the guy who's going to throw it 70 yards downfield. He's never going to be a guy who puts up eye-popping stats. However, the most underrated stat, in my opinion, is what he excels at, and that's quarterback percentage, which he leads the NFL in. I mean, you can be a guy who's going to give you the football 5-10 yards. You know, if he's completing 9 out of 10 passes, does it matter if they're 5 yards, 10 yards, or 50 yards when you got a guy like AP there? I don't think it does.
Yes, that's a very good point. Efficiency and percentage is very important when you, especially when you have Adrian Peterson. But I think the Vikings fans are frustrated just because he's not throwing for many yards. I think that's a big problem.
Well, I mean, and that is the case, and I'm sure that, you know, the team, they'd like to see him put up, you know, 200 or 300 yards a game. And, you know, hey, every fan wants to see their quarterback do that. But you look at some of the good quarterbacks in the league in the past. Chad Pennington had a very, very good career, and that guy couldn't put it 20 yards downfield. Even Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady wasn't a guy who's going to overwhelm you with his arm power, but he's efficient. He's efficient. He makes the ball happen. My point in the matter here, gentlemen, is this. Get this guy some receivers. Get this guy that true number one go-to guy to go along with Percy Harvin. And you're going to see him spread the offense a little bit more. That's my opinion, anyway.
Well, that's good. I mean, because honestly, Trey, I mean, besides Percy Harvin, who do they have?
Well, I'm exactly. A true number two. But here's my thing is Ponder checks down, checks down, checks down. And that's fine if you're playing perfect, you know, mistake-free football. But the guy's thrown 14 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. You know, you watch some of his interceptions, and you just wonder what he's looking at. Like, he throws into double coverage when he's trying to check the ball down. Like, you know, some of his decisions don't make any sense for a guy who's in the league now 2 years when you see some of these younger quarterbacks who are coming in the league and making a lot better decisions. But I think the Vikings have probably the cause to go out and get a quarterback who can actually do what Ponder's doing, but, you know, even throw the ball around a little bit better.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, you know, no two quarterbacks are also alike. Keep that in mind, too. I mean, you know, we've seen Luck, we've seen Griffin, we've seen guys like that come in and take the league by storm. Some guys, it takes a little bit longer for them to fix their issues, too.
Yeah, I mean, my point is Russell Wilson is about the same kind of quarterback, and Russell Wilson doesn't have really all that great receivers either. Russell Wilson's statistical performance is much greater than Ponder, and I think Ponder had just as many weapons as Wilson did to come in the season.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, man, I appreciate the call, and keep calling back. We enjoy having you on the show. So, Trey, take us on to the next one, sir.
All right, next one is this was a fantastic game. The Ravens and the Redskins. Redskins were down by 8. They lose RG3 to a knee injury. And, oh, who comes in to take them not only to the tie, but the two-point conversion on a run, and then the overtime win, but it's Kirk Cousins, another rookie, Tarvin.
Well, that's amazing how they got that win. RG3 goes down with an injury, which I thought he would frequently this year with his size. But, I mean, it's good when you have a backup quarterback that's a rookie that can take you down the field and win, Trey. That's just simply amazing.
Well, you know, to have a rookie backup to a rookie quarterback to come in and play that poised, and when your backup is a rookie who barely has gotten in the game this year, who came in and just played and made great decisions, was great under duress in the pocket, and then, you know, that runs the two-point conversion, you know, took a big hit, and then in overtime, just as calm and cool and collected as ever. So, you know, he was playing like a veteran out there as a backup quarterback.
I just have a question. How bad does Michigan State miss this guy?
Yeah, well, we saw what Michigan State's quarterback did this year, and none of us were impressed. I mean, Kirk Cousins was great in college. It looks like he might be okay in the pros. I mean, he's going to be stuck behind RG3, but this guy could be one of those guys who hang around as a backup a couple of years and then go out and start somewhere else.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And honestly, I think he should be the starter. I mean, this guy, I mean, I would at least let it see what he could do being a starter. He might suck. He might just be a backup player for the rest of his life. You never know. But, I mean, he didn't have time to think about anything. RG3 went down. Here he comes and leads his team to victory. But are the Washington Redskins, and I've said this before, are they really a serious playoff contender to actually win the NFC?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that they're, you know, obviously we come back and RG3's knee is a sprain. So, no, you know, we'll see if he's going to miss this week or whatever. But, I mean, they're in a position they can't lose another game either. With the way the Giants just throttled, you know, the Saints today, the Giants still remain in control of this division. And, you know, the Redskins have to at least catch the Giants to really have a playoff shot because, you know, there's a lot of 7-6 teams in the NFC right now, Tarvin. So, you know, you don't want to be playing for, you know, a hope and a tiebreaker in the last game of the season.
Exactly. And, Trey, let's go back to you mentioned about the Seahawks receivers. Full Scale Sports in the chat room thinks that Golden Tate is a very underrated receiver, and he wants your response on that.
Golden Tate, let's put it this way. If he is the number one receiver in Seattle, which he is he better than Percy Harvin? And he's not. I mean, Percy Harvin is darn near a frontline guy. So Golden Tate, is he underrated? Yeah, I think he's underrated when we talk about, you know, when you're naming top wide receiver talent. But Tarvin, he's not Percy Harvin. And Percy Harvin is a clear number one receiver, playmaker from all around. And so, for me, I look at the Vikings as, you know, they have a better number one.
And Jonathan Miklo says Tate needs to grow up before, you know, he gives him a sign of approval. So, yeah, I think the jury's still out on Tate before we say he's really, you know, underrated. So that was a good question from the chat room, though. All right, Trey, Redskins win a big game, but take it home.
Yeah, and Cole Field says he's high on the Seahawks. Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be right now. But the Redskins pull off a great win, but, you know, this leads to our next game, Tarvin. I thought this was going to be a pretty good game, but the Saints just got destroyed by Eli Manning and the Giants. And, you know, a lot of turnovers in this game, but the Giants put up, what, 52 points on?
Yeah, I believe so, and they score fast. I mean, every time you blink, a touchdown was being scored by the Saints or the Giants. But, I mean, the Saints, you can put a fork in them. Like I said weeks ago, they're done. The Giants are getting ready for their playoff push, and I think we have a big battle coming up between Atlanta and the Giants next weekend.
And the Giants are looking really good, Tarvin. This is the time where they start pulling away and making that get really hot for the playoffs. And it's going to be hard for somebody in that division to catch the Giants. I mean, everyone in the division won this week, which is kind of crazy when you consider what the Eagles did to the Bucs today. But, you know, this division has got a lot of games left to be played. I mean, you know, both the Cowboys and the Redskins are only a game back from the Giants, but the Giants looking like they don't want to give up the lead yet.
Exactly. I mean, I'm just impressed with the way they're starting to put up some points, but I don't know if they can come in. I don't think they're going to come into Atlanta and get a win over the Falcons after they lost this week. And the Falcons weren't on our list and everything, but that was a big loss for them this weekend going to Carolina. And honestly, the game was never in doubt. So if the Giants can come into Atlanta, Trey, and pull off a big win, then you better watch out for them because these guys are going to be dangerous as always in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, and that would put the whole top seed in that division up for grabs. I mean, you know, Frisco with that tie, they're only really a game back when you really think about it, you know, with three losses. So, you know, they put Colin Kaepernick in. Their offense doesn't look a whole lot different to me right now. But, you know, they're still a pretty good football team. So, you know, San Francisco's still in it for the division lead. You get Green Bay, if they win today, they're 9-4. And then, you know, oh, here comes the Giants, Seattle, and Chicago. But Chicago's on the out, you know, they're on the downward slope. Where Seattle and the Giants seem on the upward slope. So we'll have to see if that last spot in the playoffs, the Chicago, that changes, Tarvin.
Hey, I have a question for you about the Seahawks game. I think they won like 82-0, you know, somewhere around there today over the Cardinals. But Jason Minson made a good point today about Pete Carroll running up the score. Did you see the bombs he was throwing when he was up a ton of points trying to score? Is Pete Carroll just a jackass?
You know, I saw this, and I heard the commentators talking and said, well, you know, maybe Pete Carroll just really needs to evaluate what, you know, what Flynn can do. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Flynn's a guy who played last year, put up 500 yards in a game. You know what you're getting out of Matt Flynn. So that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I think that, to me, there was really no reason for him to be passing the ball like they were in the fourth quarter. In fact, a lot of the guys in the Cardinals' defense were not really playing, actually. They had taken some of their starters out in the fourth quarter. So seeing them run up the score like that was really, really just – I couldn't understand what Pete Carroll was doing and why they were calling the plays they were calling, other than just sort of maybe some sort of rubbing some rivalry. I don't know. But it didn't exude well for sportsmanship to me.
Yeah, so chat room, let us know. Roger from NDB Media, is Pete Carroll just running up the score because he's a jerk? Because I remember in the college, he's such a jerk that Harbaugh almost beat him half to death at midfield after a game for doing the same kind of, you know, below the belt. But, I mean, there's a difference between running up the score, like in college. You know, you have your team out there, your third string. They want to play, too. They practice all week. But I think what Pete Carroll was doing was just, you know, a division opponent just trying to kick them while they're down. So, yeah, I'm not a big Pete Carroll fan when it comes to sportsmanship. He's never been a good sport, and he's always been a sore loser.
I didn't like them running up the score, you know, in that game at all.
All right, what's our next game?
Well, our next game, Tarvin, is the number one game. It's a game on Monday night, the Texans and the Patriots.
Man, I just can't pick against Tom Brady at home on Monday Night Football. I just think Houston's a great football team, but going on the road Monday night against Tom Brady, I think Tom Brady's going to show Houston that when the playoffs come, that there's a team they need to worry about, and it's going to be the Patriots. I like the Patriots, Trey.
Yeah, I think the Patriots at home on Monday night. The Texans are a really good football team, but, you know, this is one of those games that, you know, you're playing a really good team on the road in December. They're probably going to be really cold in Foxborough, and I haven't seen the weather yet. But, you know, I think this is going to be a really good game. It's probably really close, Tarvin, but I like the Patriots to win this game.
Me too. And, hey, Quinn's on hold right now. And before we start talking about our college football changes with the coaches, I'm going to bring Quinn on. Hey, Quinn, what's going on, man?
Okay, I was trying to get on when you guys were talking about the Bears, but I never got on. But I just wanted to say that the Bears shot themselves in the foot once again. Those wide receivers couldn't catch a ball for their lives. Alshon Jeffrey missed one right in the end zone. Brandon Marshall on a key fourth and one late in the fourth quarter missed one. I mean, there were probably 10 drop balls. The Bears have shot themselves three times this year in games. They should have honestly probably have won.
Yep, so tell me, I mean, are the Bears, are they heading towards the playoff win, or are you worried?
I don't know. I think they'll get in. I think I just hope they can beat the Packers next week. That's what I really want, because I just want to shut the Packer fans up, since I have to hear about them daily, and they're all over my Facebook page and Twitter, so, yeah, I have to deal with them. If the Bears could make a win next week, that would make my weekend, just so the Packer fans could shut the heck up.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's hard for you having to deal with your rivals, but, hey, real quick on the Heisman Trophy, Quinn, what did you think about Johnny Football taking it away?
I was fine with it. I thought he was deserving of it. I wanted to comment on the Richard saying his linebackers were better. There's a whole different scheme, and plus the big argument that I've seen on college football pages on Facebook and stuff is them arguing about Jarvis Jones and stuff. You can't argue what an outside linebacker does to what a middle linebacker does. Their jobs are completely different. So then I didn't know Jarvis Jones was an outside linebacker until I looked it up on when you guys were talking about the Georgia linebackers, and I found out he was an outside linebacker, and I'm like, well, making that argument is irrelevant because they do two separate jobs.
Yeah. Well, Quinn, that's a great point and everything, buddy, and stay on hold and listen to the rest of this show. We got a lot to cover. So, Trey, just real quick before we get into coaches, did you see the 30 for 30 last night, ESPN with Bo Jackson?
I actually did not, Tarvin. I don't think I've seen any 30 for 30.
It was a great show. Just to comment real quick, showed the life of Bo Jackson, really. I mean, a lot of people that weren't in the 80s like we were, probably don't really know who Bo Jackson is a lot. I mean, but we saw him play and we know. But if you didn't get to see that, ESPN will be showing it again. It's the story of, what does it say? I can't remember exactly what the name of it was, but it's on Bo Jackson. So catch that. So, Trey, this week has been exactly what I thought it would be, a crazy week in college football with these coaches playing musical chairs, man. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like we said last Sunday, and I said, you know, on the show, I said, you know, this week you're going to see almost every one of these jobs, they're going to be gone by the end of the week, especially the ones in the SEC. You know, and so far, Tarvin, of the three SEC jobs, or the four that were actually available, I nailed two of them at least. So 50% of the time, Tarvin, I can pick an SEC coach every time.
Yeah, the Gus Malzahn hire in Auburn, let's talk about that real quick. It looked like, you know, earlier in the morning of the day Malzahn was hired, that Kirby Smart, it was between Kirby Smart, the Alabama defensive coordinator, and Gus Malzahn. They chose Malzahn, and are you okay with that?
I think Malzahn is a great pick for Auburn. The one question I do have about this hire, and this is where I don't know that any of us will ever know this, or speculation all across the internet and all across the news, that, you know, this came down to Kirby Smart and Gus Malzahn, and that Kirby Smart asked to basically see the inside of the NCAA investigation, and I just find it hard to believe that any coach wouldn't ask to do that. You know, so I don't know if that really is the difference, Tarvin, that Malzahn was okay just coming into the program, but either way you go, I think they ended up with the right guy. I think Malzahn, the guy who offensive-minded, so he's going to actually sort of put some of those pieces together on their offense. I know a lot of Auburn fans in the chat rooms were really worried about, you know, you lost, you know, your number one recruit. He decommitted, and he probably won't come back to Auburn. But you're going to have a shot to re-recruit him anyway, and I think that Malzahn just is a better fit for Auburn, Tarvin. I know that some of you guys were a little hesitant, to say the least, about him.
Yeah, and the good thing about it, like you said, Malzahn knows the system. He's recruited all of those players, really. He coached the Chick-fil-A game last year, then he was absent. But if Malzahn, he's just a genius when it comes to the diagramming plays, calling plays, actually developing quarterbacks, and that's what we lack this year big time. And him being a winner, you know, like in high school, I think he won some state championships. He made it to the SEC championship game in Arkansas his first year. He went to Tulsa and led the nation in offense. came to Auburn and did a great job there, went to Arkansas State, 9-3, won their conference, and now he's back. So, honestly, this is a perfect chance. If you're Gus Malzahn, this is your shot. I mean, Auburn's a big job, don't get me wrong, but this is his shot. If he comes in, Trey, say he gets Auburn to 9 or 10 wins next year, I mean, the guy can name his job anywhere he wants, honestly.
Well, I mean, obviously, for Malzahn, because he sort of bolted Arkansas State, I mean, he had a year in. You kind of have some picture of a coach that he is. I mean, he did very well at Arkansas State. But this is really going to be his sort of test. I mean, we haven't really seen Malzahn coach in this kind of atmosphere. So, you know, this is going to be very interesting for him. I'm obviously in a big program with a lot of boosters, a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations. You know, you never know how much time they're actually going to get in Carbon. So you got to win up front because, you know, on Auburn, they're not going to put up with him not winning next year.
Yeah, and you made a good point, you know, the recruit we lost. So it just seems like these days a lot of recruits are trying to hold these programs hostage, really, and try to make the decision. Reuben Foster, probably one of the best players in the nation, comes out and says if Trooper Taylor gets fired from Auburn, that he would decommit. And kudos to the AD and the coach, you know, for doing what they're supposed to do for Auburn and not keeping Trooper Taylor around just for this guy. Because you know what, Trey? Reuben Foster might not sign anyway with Auburn. So it's nothing's guaranteed until they sign. And even after that, you never know. So kudos to them for just getting rid of Trooper Taylor. And I think it was the best choice because I think you had to clean house in this situation. Do you agree?
Well, I think for two reasons it's a good idea. One is we don't know the ins and outs of what the NCAA is doing. And from what I heard from an outsider, Trooper Taylor was part of the problem with the recruiting violations that could or could not happen. So getting rid of him, I think, is important for Auburn. One, to minimize and sort of mitigate whatever the NCAA is going to do, if anything. But I think it tells the NCAA, too, that, hey, look, if you do find something, then we already can this guy, and we did it the right way. And so that's very important for Auburn as well.
Yeah, and also the hires Gus Malzahn's made. He gets, I'm forgetting his name, is it Oliver? The defensive coordinator, he was at South Carolina, and for 3 of the 4 years he was there, he had South Carolina top 15 defense. He went to Southern Miss, went 0-12 as a head coach, but you know as well as I do, Trey, everybody's not a head coach. But I like the old school, the guy that coached with Gene Stallings at Alabama, and he's coached at Mississippi State. So I like the old-school defense coming back home. And they also stole the defensive coordinator, co-defensive coordinator for Clemson, which is one of the top recruiters in the country. So the offensive coordinator they hired was like an understudy to Gus. He was the offensive coordinator at Arkansas State. He's coached at Auburn some. So I think he's going to put together a great staff. And I think the biggest key is getting Tracy Rocker from the Titans to come and coach the D-line. So I think they're building the program back the way it should be. And I look for a lot more points out of Auburn this year. I'm not going to predict a win-loss record until a long time from now, but I'm sure it's going to be more than 3 wins, Trey.
Well, if you win one SEC game, you've improved quite a bit next year. So I think Auburn will pick up at least one SEC win. We'll have to see how they look coming out of recruiting and into next year. We'll have a depth chart looks before we start picking.
It's Ellis Johnson, the coordinator. I don't know why I'm thinking that. My brain's going. I was reading Tanya's post about Lawson decommitting, but I don't think so. Maybe and hopefully not, but D-liner and Lawson are our two other big five-star recruits, and I think Lawson's going to end up an Auburn Tiger now, especially with our defensive coordinator. So the next the head scratcher, one of the head scratchers was, how did Wisconsin lose their coach to Arkansas, Trey?
You know, this is got to be the biggest coaching move this year, bar none. I mean, you go from a 3-time BCS coach, you know, 3 times in a row, this guy has taken Wisconsin to the BCS, and for him to jump ship to an Arkansas team. Says one that there may have been something going on at Wisconsin that we didn't know about, because this guy was actually doing really well recruiting at Wisconsin. You know, this guy's, I mean, he was pulling transfers away from other programs. I mean, he was doing a very good job at Wisconsin and really making them not only just relevant in the Big Ten, but relevant overall in college football. I mean, this was a team that has really had some really great years. And for him to come to Arkansas, look out. I think this guy is going to put Arkansas back on the map quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, though. I really don't know. I mean, like Sonya said in the chat room, I don't know if you remember how he bashed the SEC before, and I don't know if he's a great recruiter. I think he's too lazy to recruit, Trey, and that's one thing about this guy. If I'm Arkansas, I'm worried about, is he actually going to get in the recruiting trail and go with the big boys, because he's going to get chewed up and spit out in the SEC, and that's just my personal opinion. For the guy, he's not SEC material, Trey, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree, but Jason asked me how much of Whiskey's success can be, you know, back to Barry Alvarez. You know, obviously some. Barry Alvarez is the guy who got that program, you know, to any kind of relevance. But, I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, he took Wisconsin to a new level. I mean, he's the one that got Russell Wilson over to, you know, Wisconsin. I mean, so, you know, this is a different kind of coach. So I think he's going to have success in the SEC, Tarvin. I really do.
Jonathan said he's going to bring the ground and pound down south. I thought the South already had the ground and pound, Trey.
Well, you know, he brings basically his style of football is not going to be unique to the SEC, but it is going to be kind of unique to Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas had gone away from it. They were throwing the ball around a lot, so – and his style of offense is going to be right up what Arkansas needs, I think. Big, tough physical football, getting big, tough guys in the offensive line, because they have to. I mean, look at Texas A&M and what they've got going on with, you know, Manziel, and you got Alabama, who's winning national championship after national championship, LSU, top 10, top 5 team. You know, so they've got to come out and do something, because the competition in the West is not getting any easier.
Yeah, there was a comment he made. You know, I think it was last year when Urban Meyer came in that Urban Meyer broke the coaches' code in the Big Ten for recruiting. But if he thinks these coaches are going to play fair in the SEC, he needs to crawl back to the Big Ten, because all of these guys are used car salesmen, Trey. They lie and they just want to get you into their program. If he thinks this is going to be just straight recruiting in the SEC, he's crazy.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Urban Meyer recruits differently than everybody else does, Tarvin. I mean, Urban Meyer is in a recruiting, probably, there's a recruiting division. Urban Meyer is sort of by himself, maybe with Lane Kiffin.
I don't know what he did. He called a guy, you know, and got him to decommit from Wisconsin and just tore him up. He better, if he thinks recruiting is stressful in the Big Ten, just wait till he comes here, because it's a religion, and it's very serious in the SEC is the recruiting. So I'm interested to see how he does. I wish him the best of luck, but I just want to see how he reacts that first year. But I'm surprised they went that route. But, I mean, it was a head-scratcher, really. It really was. So let's move on to Tennessee, Trey. Tell me about their hire.
Well, Tennessee, a lot of fans are very, very unhappy, Tarvin. You know, they got their fifth or sixth guy. And this is a team that had their heart set on, you know, ginormous names like John Gruden. But, you know, yeah, look at the guy they got, Tarvin, is actually pretty good. I mean, coaching up there, Butch Jones, I mean, his guy was basically wanted by a lot of programs, and his name was all over the place. And Butch Jones is coming to Tennessee. What do you think about Butch Jones? Is he going to have any success here in the SEC?
Honestly, I think so. I think he will. I think he's a good coach, and I know at this time of year when all you hear is John Gruden and people like that, and all of a sudden you hear the guy you heard, Butch Jones, it's a letdown. But I think he's a perfect fit to come in. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been, and honestly, I just think it's a good fit. I think he's a disciplinarian. He's not going to put up with people in his program breaking the rules, telling him what to do. I think he gets Tennessee back to their winning ways.
Yeah, I think he's a great fit for Tennessee as well. I mean, I really look at all four SEC hires, and I actually think that all four teams did a very good job picking the right guy. You know, if you look at all of these fan bases, these weren't the names a lot of these fan bases have wanted, but they're probably the right guy for each fan base. And I think you know, you look at what he's done at Cincinnati and how good he was able to recruit there and win, you know, back-to-back Big East titles after that first 4-8 season. I mean, Butch Jones has basically come in and kept Cincinnati relevant after Brian Kelly left.
Yeah, I think it's a good hire. I mean, in Central Michigan, he was 27-13 and then 23-14 at Cincinnati. So, I mean, he looks like he can win, but I just like him. I like his answer to the question the reporter is asking, what do you think about not being Tennessee's, you know, first choice? And he said, well, I'm not my wife's first choice either. I was her third choice, but it lasted for 20 years. So I think the guy's perfect for Tennessee, honestly. And if you're a Tennessee fan, hold on, guys. It's going to be okay. He's going to get you back to where you need to be. And I think it's a perfect hire, man. Unexpected, but perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good hire, too. And, you know, there's some other big coaching changes. But before I get to that, Tarver, I think the biggest one of that seems to me to be a step down is who replaced Butch Jones at Cincinnati was Tommy Tuberville, you know, leaving a Big 12 legitimate, you know, Texas Tech program where he was really unhappy for, you know, he didn't think he was a good fit there, didn't like it. But going to Cincinnati, Tarvin, really?
Yeah, that is a big head scratcher there. Cincinnati, you go from Auburn in the SEC to Texas Tech in the Big 12, and then all of a sudden you land up in Cincinnati. And a day before he took the job, he told the AD how happy he was there, how his vision was to grow the program, and then he jets just like he did Ole Miss. I mean, how much can you trust Tommy Tuberville?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, Tommy Tuberville seems to really wear out his welcome wherever he goes, which, you know, I don't know. I don't know what kind of success he's going to have at Cincinnati, to be honest. I just don't see that being a very good move.
No, I don't understand what he's doing. I know he has a relationship with the AD, but still, I mean, I don't care, Trey. If you were my best friend and I was at Texas Tech, I wouldn't come join you at Cincinnati, trust me.
Oh, come on now.
I mean, come on. I mean, that's crazy. I just think maybe he's wanting to coach football and he's wanting to get out of the stress maybe of coaching football. Maybe he's winding down, getting ready to retire. And from what I hear in the chat room and from other people, he really hated Lubbock.
Yeah, I mean, that's the story is that he was very unhappy in Lubbock. But just a crazy, I mean, that was probably the second craziest thing to happen so far, Tarvin. I mean, but I just don't see him having a lot of success. I mean, Cincinnati has been a program that kind of saw the up-and-coming coaches, and now you have this, you know, coach who's kind of on the opposite trend. So we'll see.
Well, a good point made in the chat room, pulled no punches radio. I think he said that how can you expect coaches to be loyal to schools when the schools aren't really loyal to them? And, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, they don't really waste any time about, you know, firing you when you don't win football games. So I'm sure Tuberville did what he wanted to do and looked out for the best interest, you know, of him and his family. So good luck to Tuberville. I mean, once you coach at Auburn and you did what he did, you'll always be, you know, I'll always be fond of you. But it was just a head-scratcher, man. It was just a big head-scratcher.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, when you just don't see that as a lateral move or even, you just, it looks like a downward move. And you're right. I mean, I hope, you know, Tuberville, I don't think that coaches necessarily have to be loyal to programs either. I'm not making that argument. I'm just saying that it just seems odd. You have a coach who voluntarily chooses to go in a different direction like that.
All right, Trey, we're going to bring Sonia in to weigh in on this Tennessee. What's going on, Sonia?
Hey, what's going on, Tarvin? Hey, Trey.
Hey.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, when you guys are talking about the Vol thing, I was hooking my boy James Braden up, diehard Vol fan, and one of my very, very reliable sources told me what was going on there is that contrary to what was being fed to the public, that Gruden was, all the way up until the end, he was in talks with UT, but the deal was Gruden likes being courted. Everybody knows that. And he wants to get back in the NFL. And his real goal is if Peyton doesn't work out, he wants Peyton's job. Like, that's going to happen. But the biggest deal was he wanted a short-term contract, just 1 year. And he asked for a lot of other stuff that UT wasn't willing to give. So what they did is just like with Gundy and Strong using them to negotiate better perks and more money for themselves, they were trying to use them as leverage for Gruden. Now, the one dark horse that nobody knew about and was never, ever printed publicly is that they actually reached out to June Jones on that very same day over at SMU to try to get him to come back. There was interest there. But what happened is with Strong staying at Louisville so publicly, they didn't pursue it and just basically wanted to get somebody in there. But, you know, my source tells me that Gruden was, he was in there, but he really wants to go back to the NFL. He wanted a one-year contract, and UT was not budging on that. So that's what I
heard. That's some good information. And I think, you know, looking at Gruden, he was going to be a short-term fix because, like you said, Sonya, he's wanting to go back to the NFL. And as soon as something opened up, Tennessee was out. So I think they made the right decision hiring the kid, or the guy from Cincinnati.
Oh, I think so, too. And, see, the main reason that they really reached out to June Jones is because, you know, using him as leverage against Gruden, you know, former NFL coach, he's had his success. And then having him, you know, he's at SMU now, bringing him back into the SEC. So you've got a name, you've got some experience, you've got, you know, somebody that recruits will be definitely listening to and wanting to listen to. But it just didn't work out. And if they had had the time, if they really would have been patient, you know, UT might have had June Jones. You just never know. But it's one of those things where it's like I was telling my friend, it's, you know, it's timing. Yeah, it's definitely timing. But it's also you got to make sure when you're negotiating with these coaches, especially with so many open positions open, you've got to make sure that you've got some serious interest there. Because let's look at it. Gundy and Strong basically used, you know, Tennessee to their advantage. And they were, I mean, you could just tell by Strong's actions, he wasn't really seriously interested. So it's one of those, it's like, you know, you just better learn from past experience. But that's what one of my sources was telling me. Now, as far as Tuberville, it's what I'm reading in the chat room and everything else, it's the same thing. You know, he wants to get out of there. And I think he's looking at it just like Trey said, you know, look at the last three coaches who have been there and look at where they've gone. So he's looking at a stepping stone. But even bringing him back. Now, the other thing, too, there's, like, Petrino is unofficially blackballed. Everybody knows that pretty much. But, you know, can you imagine Tubby at UT? There's so many different scenarios that we could talk about, but I think the Vols just need to give him a chance. I think Butch will do a good job.
Yeah, I do too. Well, Sonya, Matt, thanks for the inside information. We appreciate it.
All right, no problem. We'll listen on.
All right, take care.
Okay.
Hey, Trey, about Charlie Strong, that's one thing I want to talk about is why would he not want to come to the SEC, you think, and stay at Louisville?
Well, you know, Louisville's going to the ACC. I mean, he actually said, or I'll be honest, you know, when this all started, you know, Charlie Strong said, you know, he likes where he's at in Louisville, likes it for his family, likes the opportunity they gave him. I mean, he seems to be more loyal. You know, he seems to be actually, you know, buying into the program there and the actual upgrades they're making to the facilities and that kind of stuff. So he seems to like what he's doing at Louisville and liking, you know, liking enough to stay there.
But yeah, I don't know. I think once you have a chance, if your goal is as a coach to move up, you know, to get up to a bigger program, I mean, he had several opportunities. Auburn never offered him the job. I don't know if Tennessee did. I think they did. But, I mean, he should have been all over that Auburn job, honestly, or Tennessee. I think those were both great, great jobs open. Some people think Tennessee wasn't a great job, but it was. Tennessee's a great program and has great facilities and fans. So anybody that thinks Tennessee's not a great job, they're crazy.
Well, you know, part of what Charlie Strong wanted was some loyalty and some you know, commitment. And I think Louisville gives him a lot of job security and gives him the opportunity to make BCS bowls. I mean, obviously, I think that meant something to him. But it's kind of funny, Tarvin. I mean, it seems like everyone was using Tennessee to get more money. You know, we saw Les Miles use Arkansas to get more money at LSU. You saw Strong use it to get more money at Louisville. And, you know, the name that Sonya didn't mention was Jimbo Fisher, who, you know, used Tennessee as well as Auburn rumors to get more money out of Florida State.
So tell me if you're Tennessee – they interviewed Kirby Smart, but they didn't want to go that route because he didn't have experience. Do you think Kirby Smart would have made a better coach?
No, I like Butch Jones. I think it's a much better fit than Kirby Smart right now for Tennessee.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, I like this hire, and I think a lot of people are going to be, you know, surprised when they see the results from this guy. I think he'll be able to recruit well, too. So, looking at Arkansas State, the void left by Gus Malzahn, I heard it was Houston Nutt and Bobby Petrino. I think Bobby Petrino is going to take that job. Have you heard anything about that?
You know, well, Arkansas State, Tarvin, I actually have not been paying attention to the coaching hiring process.
Well, I'm just looking at who's going there. I thought Petrino would end up at Auburn. I really did. I thought at the end of the day, you know, they would have got him in there. But Bobby Petrino's too good of a coach to be blackballed over something like that to happen. And I just don't understand why they're blackballing him, Trey.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to see some of the names that are part of these programs. I mean, even these small names, like I'm hearing Butch Davis for FIU, which, you know, that's a great coach for him, you know, for FIU. You know, you have even some of these MAC teams are choosing to promote their own coordinators over going out and getting some of these other names. I mean, like Kent State, looks like they're going to, you know, replace you know, from within possibly. So, you know, just these coaching jobs are harder and harder to get, and that's one of these things that some of these coaches forget is, you know, these little schools aren't necessarily interested in having some of these guys come in.
Yeah, but you made a great point, though, when you were talking about these coaches using, you know, other schools to get more money, and it happened so many times. And like Sonia said, you better make sure these coaches are very serious about it before you go out there on a limb. Tennessee, you know, I think they had to settle, but I think it will work out for them. But, I mean, I heard every name in the world that was going to Tennessee, and even Auburn, I started hearing a lot of crazy names that you would never expect. But Les Miles going to Arkansas, Trey, that was a joke. I can't believe LSU didn't just walk him to Arkansas. That's why I would have pushed him to Arkansas if he wanted it out.
Yeah, and actually, Tarvin, the name that I was looking up Arkansas State rumors, the names that seem to be flowing the most is Texas A&M offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, a former gunslinger from Texas Tech.
How about Gene Chizik at Texas Tech? What would you think about that?
You know, I haven't seen Chizik's name really mentioned so far in any of the coaching rumors yet.
Well, I think he'll sit out a year, too. I mean, because if he finds a job, he doesn't make as much money from Auburn. So if I'm Chizik, I'm chilling out a year, enjoying it, a year or two. You know, I'm going to interview for NFL jobs to make it look like I'm actually trying to find work. But, you know, I'm going to take Auburn's paycheck. I'm going to get paid. And that's exactly what he needs to do to find out what he wants to do. He might not ever coach again, Trey. It might be the last time he ever coaches.
Well, I mean, it could be the last time he ever gets a head coaching job, for sure. I mean, you know, I think Chizik could be a coordinator somewhere, but I don't see him as a head coaching material. I think I would not, if I'm in any school, give him an opportunity to head coach again. I mean, I think, you know, he's shown you, I mean, yeah, he won a national championship, but I think that was a unique circumstance. So I haven't seen a lot from him in the way of putting together talent.
I think he'll end up in the Big Ten somewhere. Honestly, I do. I think somebody will take a chance on a coach with a national championship. Just having that national championship and being able to recruit, I think there was a lot more going on at Auburn than what we know about that caused that program to go 3-9. So I don't think it was all Chizik's fault, but he's the leader of that program, so he's the one to blame. So, Trey, before we wrap up, what else you got before we go?
I just wanted to mention, Tarvin, you know, on the other coaching moves, I'd say the other move that I like the most is Purdue taking, you know, and I guess not only Purdue, Tarvin, but Northern Illinois' coach is leaving as well. So what do you think about, you know, those two coaches moving on, what Purdue did, and Northern Illinois' coach moving on as well?
Well, I mean, I think it's great to see these coaches that smaller schools get their chance. And honestly, that's how you turn your – if you're Purdue, that's what you need to do. You need to get a coach in there that's hungry and that shows they can win football games. And I think it's a great fit. I wish them both the best. But I really thought that they would be maybe bigger jobs than what they got.
Yeah, but Dan Doran, the Northern Illinois coach to NC State, I think is an actually really good move for NC State. You know, so we'll see how good success he has, but yeah, I think it's a good move for NC State as well.
Who's the coach at Western Kentucky, and did he end up at South Florida?
Yes, Western Kentucky ended up at South Florida, yeah.
See, that's a coach that people were saying Auburn should have hired, but I'm like, I don't know this guy and really what he's done, but I don't think he's ready to take a Tennessee or Auburn head coaching job just yet. So prove it in South Florida and see what happens. I mean, but you can't go there. You can't expect to go to an SEC school after coaching at Western Kentucky.
No, and you know, here's the thing about South Florida too. You know, it's actually a good job. I mean, they do have talent down in South Florida. I mean, they get the sort of leftovers from Florida, Florida State, Miami, and that's generally a lot of players. I mean, down in Florida who, you know, sort of go under the radar, they have a lot of talent, a lot of years. And I think the way they underachieved this past year, I mean, this is a job for a coach to go out and make a name in for himself.
Yep, and do you think there's going to be any more head coaching moves, you know, once bowl season starts wrapping up?
Well, we still don't know what's going to happen at Cal, which is going to be, you know, important in the coaching move. I think that's the next big job, and obviously we'll do Texas Tech replaces Tuberville. I haven't even heard names from that, but those are the next two big. Looks like somebody said Cal hired Sonny Dykes. I didn't hear that, so I missed that one.
Yeah.
But so you know, Texas Tech's the next one, Tarvin. But I think there's going to be another coaching move or two for sure. Especially when you start talking about the NFL jobs that could come open.
Well, if you're Sonny Dykes and your AD turns down a bowl game trying to hold out for a bigger one, I mean, I'd want to leave too if I had a season like Louisiana Tech did and I couldn't even go to a bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would be pretty mad if I was a coach at what La Tech, you know, did, thinking they were, you know, I've heard that story both ways. I've heard that, you know, some bowls basically told La Tech, you know, don't worry, we got you. So when they turned down that bowl, they weren't there. And I've heard the other story is that La Tech thought they were bigger than they were. So I'm sure the truth lies somewhere in the middle. But either way, from the player's standpoint and obviously the head coach, it's a travesty. Those guys deserve to be bowling.
Yep, and Wednesday night, speaking of bowling, we're going to start our bowl breakdown, preview, and picking these winners. And I think I might go down to the Orange Bowl, Trey. I heard if you get a crystal with cheese, you get a free ticket to the Orange Bowl.
if I'm in the neighborhood, I might give me a crystal with cheese. But that's about the only reason I buy a crystal burger, man. I think crystal burger is pretty disgusting.
Oh, man, I ate 20 of those one time and puked for about 2 days. So, yeah, very good crystal. But remember, you have to add cheese to it, Trey. You can't just get the regular.
Yeah, well, you know, that makes it less gross, I guess.
But anyway, the Orange Bowl, I mean, it's a BCS bowl with a big payout. So we have five big games to break down there. But, I mean, there's some other great games to watch. And, Trey, I'm going to make a prediction right now on the radio before we even do it. I think the SEC could go undefeated in these bowls. I'm going to go ahead and pick it now.
Yeah, you've been alluding to that for a couple weeks with me, so glad to know you actually went out and go ahead and said it on the radio.
Yeah, because I just look at it, and I think this is a year they have the matchups. You know, they have good matchups to be able to do it. Notre Dame-Bama is going to be a tough one, of course. You know, I just think the two teams that I mentioned, and I've got a little hate out of it, they could lose. I think Mississippi State could end up losing. I think they play Northwestern. I think Northwestern's a good football team, and LSU Clemson, I just don't know how much LSU is going to want to be there. So Clemson and LSU is a great matchup that scares me a little bit picking the SEC, but we'll see, man. I mean, it's going to be a great breakdown, so a lot of games to cover, man. I don't think we can do it in one night.
Well, you know, we're going to take it week by week. You know, there's a lot, you know, that's one of the things that we have the advantage of doing, Tarvin, is, you know, sort of breaking them down week by week. We'll obviously allude to the bigger games the entire time, but we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about, you know, the Weed Whacker Bowl, but we're going to hit it the week it is.
The Belt Bowl with Cincinnati, Duke, I mean, a great matchup. And then you have, I mean, there's some great, the Pinstripe Bowl, West Virginia and Syracuse. I mean, I would hate to know I was in the Pinstripe Bowl.
Well,
or the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl. I mean,
hey, well, you know,
Wild Wings Bowl.
what really got me about the Bulls, and when I really, and maybe I'm on my limb by myself here, but when the Bulls started taking corporate names and it all started changing and there really became no identity with a bowl because it changed each year. I mean, Papa John's Bowl, the, you know, what is it this year? I mean, there's really no tradition anymore. And that's when I think that the loyalist who said, you know, the bowls are so important and we don't need to go to a playoff. To me, you could do away with almost all the bowls and just go to a playoff because the bowls don't mean much to me anymore because, I mean, the names change every year. The tradition is, and there's only tradition with so many bowls anymore. So that's just me, Tarvin. I'd like to see us go to a playoff and get rid of some of these bowls that I don't even remember what they are anymore.
I mean, the good thing about a bowl is it gives college football junkies like myself something to watch. I mean, you have a game to watch. I think Saturday starts the games, right? I think Saturday starts our first two bowl games. But after that, it's just so many bowl games. But I remember as a kid when you just had the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Those bowls were huge, and I just don't remember. Maybe there were more games, Trey. Tell me if I'm wrong, but it just didn't seem like there was as many. It just seemed like only a few people made a bowl game. But now, if you can just win six games and you know get a bunch of wins against some Division I AA teams, I mean you can go to a bowl game, which I don't like. I don't think. Really a 6-6 team should get in, or excuse me, a 6-7 team like Georgia Tech. I don't think they deserve a bowl game.
No, that's what further degrades the system to me. I mean, not only you have the, you know, what is the bowl on Saturday? I was just looking at it, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, but you know, you could also have a 6-7 team playing in it. You know, I mean, so you know, that is to me. Doesn't strike me as a game I want to see. You know, I'm okay with seeing a game, you know, tuning in. If it's 2-8-4 teams from different conferences who don't play each other, then, yeah, I can see the appeal to that. But, you know, seeing these under 500 teams playing in bowls that I can't even, you know, the name changes every single year, I mean, this doesn't appeal to me, Tarvin.
I think you should have probably 12 bowl games, and the top 24 teams at the end of the year should play in a bowl game or something, but, I mean, this is getting crazy. But I like it. I mean, I like to watch it because it gives us a lot to talk about and a lot to see. But, I mean, I could name some teams here. I mean, Toledo, they're a good team, I mean, for what they do. And then you have Washington getting in a bowl. I mean, my God, I mean, who else is in here that shouldn't be? Duke 6-6, they've had a great year for Duke, but still, are they deserving of a bowl game? And the Syracuse, West Virginia shouldn't be nowhere near a bowl. I mean, the farthest thing they should do is go play a bowl game right now. I mean, there's some good matchups in here, as we'll talk about, but, I mean, most of these teams, until Christmas, they don't deserve a bowl game, really. So it'll be fun to break down some of these games. But Nevada, Arizona is the first bowl game we get to see, and that's terrible. And BYU, San Diego State. And Florida State, who are they playing, Trey?
Northern Illinois.
Remember, guys, if you haven't bought your ticket yet for the Orange Bowl, go to Crystal and get one now. So I'm excited to see.
And I encourage all you Auburn fans to come watch Florida State play in the Orange Bowl because, you know, you got nothing else going on.
I know, 3-9, we're not even thinking about a bowl game, Trey. I'm not even jealous of people making a bowl game now. So we're so far away. So, yeah, all the Auburn fans out there, make sure you go to the Orange Bowl and support your team. So, I mean, I know that national championship game, we're going to have a lot of people, you know, disagree and agree. It's going to be some great debate when Quinn calls in. So, anyway, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, we're going to have our show regular time. And should be a good one. Hope everybody can come out and get in the chat room. And we have some new people into the show, Trey. Full Scale Sports joined us in the chat room. Pull No Punches Radio and Tater Sports Tater. I don't know what that is, but that's a cool name. Some new people joining us. We have a few guests. So if you're a guest in there, go register at blogtalkradio.com. Get a free account so you can join us actually in the chat room. So, Trey, anything before we go?
No, buddy. Look forward to Wednesday talking to bowls for the first time.
I'm ready, man. It's bowl time, and I'm excited getting ready for that Notre Dame-Bama game at the end of in January. So Trey, again, great job, man. Thanks for everything, and thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight, and we'll see you Wednesday.
All right, bye, guys.